Welcome to Dietitians Uncorked, a podcast hosted by Kat and Kelly, two registered dietitians who co-founded Nutriving, a virtual nutrition practice. We talk all things food, nutrition, life, and of course, wine. This is a judgment-free zone where all foods fit and all bodies are welcome. Thanks for listening. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Dietitians Uncorked. We have a really good one today. I'm so excited. But we got to talk wine. We have to.
Always.
Always. Kelly, what are you drinking?
So I have today a Cabernet Franc. Have you tried this variety?
No, and it sounds fancy as hell.
I think you would like it. It's not as, I don't find it as commonly as, you know, like your Cab Sauv. But Cabernet Franc, it is called El Enemigo. It's like an Argentinian wine, this one. I don't know if all Cab Francs are or not. But it is really, really delicious. If you like Cabernet Sauvignon or if you like Malbec, which I know you do, I think you would like this one. Also for our listeners and, you know, our future wine sponsors who are probably listening right now.
Yes. Yes, please. Oh, that sounds delicious.
What do you have today?
I have so this was a gift from my brother because I babysat. And it's a wine. It's a red blend. It's called Encierra and is Chilean. It's from, I believe, Valle Colchagua, which I actually know where that is. And it's kind of like, it's a crazy blend. It has Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Carmenere, Shiraz. So it's like all the dark, sort of fruity, red fruits, oaky kind of stuff.
That sounds really good. It's so good.
It makes me very happy to be doing this podcast and drinking this. So, Kelly, I have a series of questions, and you have to guess what we're talking about today, what the episode's about.
Okay, hit me.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm so excited. You might be on this diet if you have bad breath. You might be on this diet if carrots are too unhealthy for you. You might be on this diet if your private parts, like if your ass stinks.
I can't hold it together.
I can't. You might be on this diet if you can't sleep at night. You might be on this diet if you have a potassium deficiency, and you might be on this diet if you're a celebrity. Any guesses?
The keto diet.
The keto diet. That's exactly what we're talking about today. The keto diet. A very popular diet that leaves most dietitians sort of scratching their heads. We don't get it. We don't get it.
Mm-mm. There's a lot of reasons not to get it. Like, it just doesn't make sense, which is what we'll get into today. Let's see. We have done a lot of research on this diet, so we can kind of go through some of that and just our general experience, clinical experience in working with people who maybe were curious about the diet and, you know, kind of what we've gone through with them. Where should we start? There's a lot of places.
I know. Maybe the background of the keto diet, because not everybody who's on a keto diet or a ketogenic diet is necessarily doing it because it's a fad diet. There's actually a purpose that right now is clinically relevant. So I want to start by saying, like, there is a reason why some people do follow this diet, and it is a therapeutic diet that makes sense. And then beyond that, which is probably, if you've heard of the keto diet, you probably have heard it outside of this context. That's what we'll poke fun of today. But the background. Do you want to start there?
Sure. Yeah. And to be to be clear, Kat and I are poking fun, as she said, at the specific application of this diet for weight loss primarily. So there is a place for the keto diet. So it was initially developed in, it's been around like since the 1900s, and it was developed as a diet to help manage seizure conditions. And so there is a lot of research, there's a lot of efficacy around the keto diet in those situations, like for patients who have seizure disorders. There also is a good body of research around it for other neurological disorders, things like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. So more recently, there's a bigger body of research in terms of that, which is great.
Right. Of course. You know, if there is science to back it up, it is a therapeutic diet that might benefit people with specific neurological disorders, particularly that have to do with the brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is a place for it. Okay, so let's be really clear about what the keto diet actually is. So it's you've probably heard it's a low carbohydrate diet, right? High fat, high protein, low carbohydrate. So those three entities are what we refer to as the macronutrients. So all of our energy in food comes from carbohydrate, protein, and fat. The difference is that in a typical diet, there's a range, right? So for most people, that range of energy that they're getting from carbohydrate foods is going to be somewhere between 45 and 65%. So keep that number in mind. On the keto diet, you're looking at about 5 to 10% of your total energy coming from carbohydrate. Let's say for the sake of math, you might be consuming around 2,000 calories a day. That math would equate to about 25 to 50 grams of carbohydrate in a day.
Yikes.
Right?
Yikes.
A banana, just for context, for our listeners, a banana has about 30 grams of carbohydrate. That's your day. That's it.
That's it.
No mass.
No banana for you.
No bananas.
Nope. Also, carrots are out of the question in the keto diet for the same reason. Most root vegetables are. Mm-hmm. Most fruit are, unless they're berries, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, can you imagine?
Right. Such a small little bank to choose from.
Yes. Yeah. This is a diet that is actively promoting that carrots are unhealthy for you. Carrots.
Right. So if our energy is limited from carbohydrate on the keto diet, that means that it's coming from the other macronutrients, so fat and protein. So let's look at those typical ranges just for reference once again. Let's go with protein. So a typical range for calories from protein could be anywhere from 10 to 35% of your total energy intake. On the keto diet, we are looking at about 10 to 20. So the difference here isn't huge. It is comparable. That means that leaves the fat, right? So if we look at the percentage of fat or the percentage of calories from fat on a typical diet, that's going to be anywhere from 20 to 35 for most people. And then, drum roll, keto diet is about 70 to 80% fat. So that is the key difference. High fat, very, 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 very low carbohydrate. So much that you can't even have 2 carrots.
So because we are focusing on fat here in this diet, because, you know, protein with the keto diet, it could be, you know, normal, like moderate to high, right? But the main part of the diet comes from the fat. Mm-hmm. They don't really restrict or guide people necessarily what types of fat, which I believe, you know, a calorie isn't a calorie, and that applies to fat. You know, the same fat that comes from nuts is not the same fat that comes from lard. Yet here in this diet, people are literally putting butter
in coffee,
in their coffee, in their coffee, like butter in their coffee. And they're like, ooh, try it.
No thanks.
Gross. Like, who wants that? Also, I can imagine there's probably foam on top, right? That, like, congeals as it gets cold.
Like, I love butter, don't get me wrong, but I would never. It's just so gross.
Yeah, I would rather not do that. Not do that, for sure. And it's interesting because we have a pattern, right? Depending on the decade we're in, there's always a food group, a macronutrient that's really the root of all evil, right? It used to be fat. There's a time where protein was it. Right now we're in a period where carbs are the bad guy. And the keto diet isn't the only one who focuses on a low-carb diet. I mean, we have the paleo, the South Beach, which I don't know who is still doing the South Beach diet. I mean, come on, that's like pure 90s bliss. There's like the Atkins. There are so many other diets that just make carbs be the enemy here, and then they have this adaptive, maybe their percentages of calories are a little different than the keto, but essentially similar approach.
Right. They have the same, the devil is the same across those diets.
Right.
The devil is carbs.
I love how we've made it religious. The devil. yeah. So should we get into how, or like the reasoning why these percentages are so insane?
Yeah. So like what, when our body is taking in that level of fat, you are not going to be able to use the glucose, which would come from the breakdown of carbohydrates. And that's really our body's preferred source of energy, especially the brain really runs on glucose. If we look at another fun fact, if we look at the RDA, the recommended dietary allowance for grams of carbohydrate per day for a healthy adult, that's about 130 grams. So that is what our body and our brain needs to run optimally. So like doing the processes that it knows how to do instead of these like alternative adaptive processes, that's what we need. But on a keto diet, you're coming in at 25 to 50 grams. So let's get into what happens, like physiologically, what does the body do in that case? So when the intake of carbohydrates is so low on the keto diet, the body can no longer use kind of its normal go-to function. So normally we would take carbohydrate, break it down into glucose being the main form of energy. It would go through a process called glycolysis, etc., and be used for energy. However, if we don't have enough carbohydrate, sure, that system might work to an extent, but you're talking about such a huge deficit in carbohydrate. So the body is like, well, shit, like, I still need energy to do my functions, so we have to figure something else out. So instead of taking energy from carbs and converting it into glucose, the body is going to kind of piecemeal parts of protein, so like amino acid, and parts of fat. It's going to like do this this wizardry, like it's like magic, like it's like taking little parts of this and putting it together to make glucose. So that process is called gluconeogenesis. So that will start to occur to some extent in the keto diet. And then, Kat, do you want to speak to the next wonderful adaptive process that the body will go into?
Ketosis. I get so excited talking about this just because I feel like a lot of people don't understand what is actually happening in their bodies. And it's not their fault. You know, the keto diet is sort of being wrapped in a beautiful, promising, you know, diet that offers all these solutions. But the truth is, it's just, there's something real ugly on the other side. So ketosis is when our body has been in this adaptive process for long enough where it starts producing something called ketone bodies. So essentially, it's a deamination, I believe. It's an adaptive form of amino acids called ketone bodies. And the reason why these are important and the reason why this whole diet is called the ketogenic diet is because these ketone bodies can be utilized as an energy source for our brain and our nervous system, which primarily use glucose as their main source of energy. So ketones are imperative in order for this diet to work, because otherwise your brain would shut down.
Exactly.
So kind of dramatic, don't you think?
Yeah, it's like our brain clearly prefers glucose. It can work on ketone bodies, but it would prefer not to.
Absolutely. And not to mention, it is costly to your body to make these ketone bodies. It's not like your body's like, oh, you know, I don't have a blue pen, but I guess I'll use this black one. No, it's like I have to break this down, make some magic happen, have a whole lot of energy being spent on this that normally I could just work efficiently, and to make these ketone bodies so that I can survive. So this is survival mode. That's what we're talking about here. It's survival mode. And what's insane about this diet is it's not just about limiting carbs and having a low carb diet. It's about making sure that you have reached ketosis. So there are these strips that you can purchase them online or sometimes in pharmacies where you stick them in your urine and then it lets you know whether your body has reached ketosis or not. And I don't know about you, Kelly, but I am not a big fan of, you know, collecting my own urine for little side experiments where I stick pieces of paper in there to make sure, like, gross. Come on.
Hard pass.
Yeah. So essentially that is how the keto diet works. But I think here's the thing. A lot of people are attracted to the idea of the keto diet because right now the keto diet's a fad diet for weight loss, which can be an attractive potential solution for many that are looking for weight loss. But we got to be honest about this. The research on this is murky at best.
Especially like long term. Sure, short term there, you could find some research that's going to support weight loss, but long-term is the issue, right? If you're consuming a diet that's 70 to 80% fat of various types, but as we alluded to before, the types don't matter for most people who are following, you know, put butter in your coffee, do whatever you want. So we have a variety of fats that are being consumed at like a much higher level. There's got to be an effect to that down the line, right? But we don't know that yet because it is relatively new that people are following the keto diet for, you know, for weight loss and for a given time period.
Right. I think, too, what's an interesting, I know people have done the keto diet and there are varieties, right? Mm-hmm. There are some versions of the keto diet. They call it the clean keto diet where they're not consuming a ton of saturated fats and they're using a little bit more dark leafy greens and fish sources or whatnot. And then there's a version of the dirty keto diet, which is the one where you just put butter and lard on everything, apparently. So there are varieties here and I want to give people props for that. But when you, in a long-term scenario, when you are restricting carbs so much, clinically, you can start seeing actual side effects of these wacky proportions of macronutrients. One, I can speak to very closely because working in the clinical setting, I know of somebody who had to have their gallbladder removed because of following the keto diet, because of the excessive amount of fat this person was consuming on a daily basis for a prolonged period of time. And I mean, we can go down the list of the different organs that might be compromised and that clinically you should not be consuming this diet if you have any of these issues. But it is just, it's alarming to see a diet that's so popular affect so many systems and organs individually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially if you do have, you know, a personal history or a family history of, you know, elevated cholesterol or any like lipid abnormalities, you know, that's a little dicey to be following a diet that's that high in fat when there are a lot of other options. You know, if you're looking to make adjustments to your diet or, you know, feel better, if you're looking for weight loss, whatever it is you're looking for, there are a lot of other options, better options, a little less scary.
Yeah. So maybe before we kind of name some of the organs that can be compromised if you're on this diet, can we talk about the unpleasant side effects of this diet? Because there are many, and most of them have to do with smells.
Ugh.
I don't know if you guys have ever been around somebody who has an eating disorder or who has been starving for whatever reason. Clinically, I'm sure, Kelly, you've been around people. Sometimes this happens on a clinical setting for whatever reason, but there is a particular smell that ketone bodies, I think it's byproducts of urea, mm-hmm. I believe. There's like a metallic-y smell, but over time, it's just a very unpleasant smell. And it starts with the breath, but it...
It evolves
into something. It travels. But it evolves into something like that involves the pores. So like I've been around somebody who's been on this diet who like moved her arms. I wasn't smelling her like armpit necessarily. I was smelling her arm. Her head was turned the other way. And oh my gosh, it was so bad. So much so that somebody who was close to this person was like, hey, why don't you just like, here's some gum. They did it in a very kind and tactful way, but they offered this person some gum or some mint or something like that. And the smell didn't go away. It was coming like from her pores, I swear. And it was, oh, so strong. So, so strong. It smells like, oh, it's so hard to describe. Like, vinegar, metallic-y, something decomposing.
Very sexy.
So sexy. Well, wait till it gets all the way down there.
It travels, as you said.
There's Sneaky. Something called a keto crotch. Keto crotch. I'm sorry. If you tell me this diet has a side effect where my private parts... And there's a name for it called keto crotch. I would just, no thanks.
That means you know? It's common enough that it has a name. Like, that's alarming.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You just like sit down and you're just like, oh, good.
Ugh.
But in it, what are you going to do with that? There's no perfume that you just like put around that area mm-hmm. that I know of.
No. And things like people may have heard of like the keto flu. So like often, especially in the beginning, you know, your body we can store glucose to some extent. So in the form of glycogen in the liver, in the muscles, the body is going to use almost all of that. And then nothing else is coming in, right? So you're really running on empty. Like your body is still kind of warming up to those adaptive processes that we talked about. So that means you're going to be tired as fuck, like not be able to do anything, just like so fatigued, like feeling like you actually have the flu. I'm just, what kind of life is that? Like, that is no way
I know
to live.
I know.
The constipation we have not talked about. If you're limiting carbohydrates that much, there are so many foods that are high fiber, you know, fruits, vegetables, grains that are off limits. And what happens when you don't get fiber? You can't poop.
Mm-hmm. Cannot poop. The other thing is insomnia is an issue. You guys, I have a hard enough time falling asleep. But there's no diet that to me is worth the lack of sleep.
Difficulty. Yeah.
Like one more step, one more challenge. No. No, thank you. Mm-mm. No. On top of that, you know, there's vitamin deficiencies that can happen because if you think about it, fruits are a massive source of specific water-soluble vitamins that you are kind of not getting from other places. Potassium is one. I mean, we joked about the banana, but these people really can't eat any bananas. Let's not, you know, forget the healthy gut bacteria that feeds off of fiber. You don't get none of that. So I promised you guys a list of organs or systems that this diet is not recommended to. So if you have thyroid issues, liver conditions, kidney disease, pancreatic disease, gallbladder disease, or eating disorders, this diet is not for you.
It's a lot of organs.
What does that leave?
I just feel sad.
I know. I know. It's awful. But if you think about what, I guess the reason why we're doing this podcast is because these are things that are not talked about as often, right? The keto diet has become very popular and people talk about the benefits of it, but not a lot of people talk about the negative health outcomes that they might have to face, the very unfortunate side effects that they might have to live with, and physiologically what is actually happening to their bodies. And so I think something that I really want, and I hope it comes across, is that we're not wanting to make fun of people who do this diet because they're doing it for a reason, right? They've come to a point in their lives where they are taking drastic measures, because let's be honest, this diet is drastic, in order to achieve their health goals. And it's sad. It's sad because no one is advocating for potentially the negative side effects. So if you're somebody who has done the keto diet and has had a positive experience, or you know someone close to you, a friend or a loved one, who has done the keto diet and it has been a positive thing, that is okay, right? We advocate for you being the boss of your body. But I strongly, strongly encourage an expert's opinion on the matter, somebody who can monitor your lab, somebody who can sort of walk you through what physiologically is happening to your body, so that you're not putting organs at risk. I mean, losing a gallbladder is serious, is a serious thing. It's a serious offense. And so I hope that that if you're listening to this podcast, that you understand that we are on your side, right? Like, if you are doing this diet and it's working, hopefully you're doing it with somebody who is a healthcare provider and can walk you through that. And if not, if you're doing this diet and it's worked well so far, just be careful. We care for your health a whole lot, and we want you to take care of all of your organs and all of your systems that are interconnected, because they all work together. So, you know, we hope you're being careful. That's all.
Okay, so we've covered what the keto diet is, where it came from, some of the conditions that it is indicated for in terms of what the research supports. We've talked about all the fun and sexy side effects of the keto diet. But I do want to also address that, you know, a lot of people are looking for solutions, right? And so this might seem like a flashy solution. There is a lot of media coverage around it. The fact that carbohydrates have been the villain for a few decades does make this kind of seem appealing, you know, for some people. So when you think, oh, okay, low carbohydrate diet, like, I don't want diabetes, so yeah, I should limit my carbohydrates. And yes, we do see insulin levels decrease to an extent, but that's because, you know, there is no glucose. So that makes sense. That reaction makes sense. in the body. And, you know, people might, you're eating a high fat diet, right? Fat is very satiating. So people who maybe have not felt like very full after meals, if they have been restricting their food or kind of manipulating what they're eating, and then suddenly they feel full after they're eating, that could be really appealing, right? So there are parts of this that you can see why people might want to at least try it, you know?
For sure. I agree. And, you know, if you're somebody who's been trying to lose weight for a long time and has not been able to achieve that weight loss, some people can do that on the keto diet. I mean, I'm not going to tell you all the bad things and not actually tell you why people do it. They do it because they can lose weight. Here's the caveat to that. On top of sexy crotch smelling symptoms, is that sure, you might be able to lose weight, but as soon as you return to a more or your previous diet or a diet that doesn't involve a crazy amount of fat intake, that weight gain, that gaining the weight that you lost will occur because your body is no longer in this adaptive process of somewhat of a starvation mode, right? It happens. I went to go see a doctor a few years ago and she asked me what my profession was. And she asked me what I thought about the keto diet. And I almost didn't have enough time, but I was just like, ugh, whatever. And she said, you know, I've had a lot of patients who come here and tell me that they're on this keto diet. Their glucose and insulin levels do improve. I don't have to prescribe that higher of a doses of the medication that they're on for their diabetes. But their cardiovascular, their lipid profile, their cholesterol, the biomarkers that I am monitoring for their cardiovascular health, they're all bad. I mean, awful. Their cholesterol was like barely, you know, high. Now it's through the roof. And I cannot convince these people that this might not be the best approach for them because I'm not just concerned about their diabetes, I'm also concerned about their heart disease or whatever else is going on. And she seems so disheartened. She's like, but it's sad because they seem so happy with the weight loss. I just don't think that it's a healthy diet because sure, they might look on the outside a little bit better or they consider that they look better. But when we look at the labs, this is not translating across the board. It's not like we're seeing all labs improved and we can say, oh, wonderful, this diet is actually working for you. So I just want to say, like, I get the crisis sort of mode that comes after trying a lot of different things and not being able to lose weight. But something I hope that we're getting across here is that although, yes, it may help lose weight initially, one, it's difficult to maintain long term, and two, it may not actually be healthy for your cardiovascular function or for all those organs we just mentioned. So at the end of the day, I wouldn't want anyone that I love or that I care for to be on a diet that may actually not be healthy for them. It just achieves one number, which is weight. It's not a good option.
Right. We have to think about at what cost. So sure, there may be some short-term wins, right? You may lose weight. Your insulin levels may go down. Maybe your blood sugar is better controlled if that's something you were struggling with. But again, short-term. And so at what cost are you comfortable with achieving those things? And, you know, Kat and I will always advocate for like sustainable change. So really, like if you go on something like this, sure, you might have some short-term wins, but are you able to sustain that? And if not, like, are those wins worth it? You know, it's not, those wins are not going to sustain you forever. So at what cost, what is going on in your body long-term that, you know, is going to impact your health status?
Do you have a fictional character in like a movie or a show or something that you're like, that person's so attractive. Not just like the actor, but the character where you're like, hell yeah. Do you have somebody?
I haven't been watching a ton of TV or movies as of late, but I used to really like the Chicago Fire show. And there was that guy on it who dated Lady Gaga for a while. Or I think they were engaged, actually. Mm-hmm. His name is slipping my mind at this point.
Yeah.
That's who comes to mind. Why?
Oh, well, because for me is Jess from Gilmore Girls. Did you ever watch that show?
Actually, no. Like, I'm one of the few people.
Yeah. Gilmore Girls, the whitest show alive. It's just like four white people, mm-hmm. but I watched it. And Jess is a character in that show that I'm just like, ugh, Jess can get it. Like, he just, man. And, I mean, they had issues in the relationship. I'm not advocating for an unhealthy relationship. I'm just saying Jess can get it, okay? And if Jess came to me and was like, Kat, I'm doing the keto diet. Do you want to do it with me? And we could spend time together cooking and whatever. I'd be like, hell no. You know, even with the temptation of getting to hang out with Jess, which, you know, Jess now is the actor. He's the dad from This Is Us and, you know, has a different vibe. But I'm just saying, if Jess came to me and said, let's do the keto diet together and we could spend all this time together, I'd be like, no, because...
That's how strongly no, we feel.
Yeah. No degree of attractiveness of a character, fictional or non, it's worth mm-hmm. it. So those are my two cents.
So we hope you enjoyed our take on the keto diet today. As always, if you agreed with something we said or disagreed, feel free to hit us up. We're just trying to go through some of the actual science of the diet and what it does to our bodies. So hopefully that was illuminating and maybe resonated. Maybe you learned something you didn't know. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on the episode. You can find us on Instagram at NutriVing. We would love it if you left a comment or a review of this podcast. Share it with your friends. Everything helps.
Yep. Share, comment, subscribe.
All the things.
Do the whole shebang. All the things.
All right, so we will catch you next time. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Bye.